It's the Mayo News Football Podcast. I'm Rob Murphy. And the week that's in it, we said we'd jump on a Sunday evening and open up the Connacht Championship for you guys. John Gunnigan, how are you?
A good Rob. Yeah, Connacht Championship starts on Easter Sunday. What a mad world we live in.
Four teams have already been in action, Mike Finnerty. Two of them gutted tonight. There will be cows milked in New York and London.
Yeah, I would say roundabout now, Tony McEntee and Joe Kane are tucking into hot dogs and Miller Lights at Gaelic Park, and they are going down easy because the two lads and the rest of the Sligo entourage have put in quite the afternoon over in the Bronx. I logged on GA Go. I watched pretty much all of it. And I was absolutely convinced with 5 minutes to go that Sligo were in a world of trouble. They win by four. They were extremely fortunate, saved by the post a few times, saved by one or two maybe hasty decisions by some of the New York lads. But a win is a win is a win. And it just goes to show you one of these days, I heard a stat being used 21 times up to today. New York have played in the Connacht Championship. 21 times they've lost. That's now obviously out to 22. But one of these days, Rob, they are going to catch somebody. And it was almost Sligo this evening. Great game.
And you know, Mike, it was much quite similar over in Ruislip as well, because Leitrim came through in a close enough match as well. But London came with a late charge and they were up just a point down with seconds to go, and Leitrim got a goal in injury time to put a bit of a gloss on it as well. But that was another one that could have gone the other way.
Interesting. A lot of names are jumping. Like Adrian Vardy was the star, Mike, for New York this evening. I think was that Alan Campbell, the Tipperary fullback, yeah, who played against us in the semi-finals.
Yeah, that was him. He was outstanding, actually. And yeah, Adrian Varley up at the other end then was the main man in the attack. Jack Riley from Charlestown, of course, lined out with New York as well at wing forward. And is it Niall Medine as well? The inside forward looked very, very sharp. Like they hadn't played a game for 3 years. And as Pat Spillane
since
said,
we saw them, basically.
That's right. They hadn't played since the day we got drowned wet in Gaelic Park watching Mayo beat them, and then we disappeared down the town and did what you do when you're in New York. What happens in New York stays in New York. Isn't that right, Rob?
Yeah. John Casey was along with us. That's all I'm saying. Nothing else. Good times. I'm sure the Sligo fans are having a great night tonight. Anyways, I'm sure they were slightly worried for a long period of time. Their commentary team was summarizing that quite well. Actually, I was listening to Ocean FM. Did a great job. But yeah, Andy Moran was relieved as well. Mike, you jump in there first.
Yeah, it reminded me, and I know we were chatting about this off air a few minutes ago. It reminded me so much of 2011, Rob, and Mayo London in Ruislip. It was just, I was getting flashbacks. And there are a few things about that day I'll never, ever forget. Trying to commentate from the balcony at the back of the goal, that will stay with me forever, particularly when there was goal mouth scrambles down at the far end. The absolutely incredible point that Kevin McLaughlin kicked to save the day and send the match to extra time. Kevin McLaughlin quite literally saved Mayo football from becoming a quiz question and from a whole different House of Pain book that Keith Duggan would have written. And I also will always remember interviewing James Horan after the match. He was grey. He had just been through the Miller, and he was a very relieved man. Mayo rushing off to make their flight home. That, of course, was the weekend when all the travel chaos didn't help their cause either. But I did think for quite a while this evening that Sligo were about to become the biggest casualty of Championship 2022 on the opening weekend. And obviously, by the sound of things, Leitrim didn't have things all their own way either. So look, there's a moral in the story there for Mayo as well going into next weekend. I've been working on the preview for the match for the paper today. And I mean, I can't believe the odds. I cannot believe Galway are 2-1 outsiders, given all of Mayo's injuries and obviously the league final performance and all of that. So I think Mayo forewarned and forearmed going into the game on Sunday.
Obviously, this podcast is out in the free feed, John. Behind the scenes in Patreon, we're saying Mayo are going to win easily, but here we're just being safe. That's what's happening. It's all Yara.
Yeah, that's it. I stuck up the usual poll on the blog this morning. And I think it's instructive enough, actually, because it's only running at 60-40 in our favor. Now, you have to 60-40 in our favor on a poll like that is no better than 50-50 in reality. You know, you have to kind of weigh the emotion there, if you like. You know, if people are confident we're winning, it's north of 70-30. But this is, yeah, I think there's a lot of nervousness about this.
Interesting. Coming up this week on our podcast feed, exclusively for our Patreon followers, with some stuff for our regular weekly listeners as well in there. Starts with this, of course, but another podcast coming out tomorrow, and it's going to be a good one, all about the rivalry itself. Colin Sheridan joined us with Kieran Murphy from Second Captains. Myself and the two lads had a great old chat about the good old days of Mayo and Galway rivalries and maybe the way it's kind of evolving into today's scene. Also, Kieran really gives us a bit of an insight into how he feels Galway are shaping up for the game. So that's going to set the scene, get you going for the week. Also on this week, we're hoping to have Kevin McStay back. That's going to be on the podcast out on Wednesday for our Patreon listeners, Thursday for the rest of you guys. And to finish the weekend, sure. Listen, Mike, sure, it wouldn't be a big match week if we didn't have a Here Comes the Weekend episode, which I know you're working away on quietly in the background.
That's right. My weekly catch up with Billy Joe ahead of big Mayo games. We'll have a Galway guest as well. And hopefully, although going by my experience this weekend with hurling teams and hurling squads, hopefully we'll have the Mayo team and the Galway team in front of us when we sit down to record on Thursday night. But I wouldn't hold out any great hope. Just to give you an example, I suppose, of how things have changed since the league ended and the championship started, the Galway team that played on Saturday evening, the Galway hurling team, was not released until just after 9 o'clock on Friday night. So, you know, everyone now is looking for the edge. We saw that with Mayo going into the league final. And from what I can gather, both Mayo and Galway football camps, media blackouts, in both of those camps coming into the match next Sunday. So I can't see team lineups being released too early either. So we could be left in suspense until very late in the week.
Yeah, I wanted to mention as well, to complete the list of important stuff, a huge week for underage football. We're going to talk about that in a second from Mayo's perspective, because we've got a Final Whistle podcast as well for the under 20 final, which is in Markievicz Park. More on that anon. John, you wanted to jump in there.
Yeah, Mike, I guess you're not expecting the full match day 26 of a Wednesday evening or an early Thursday morning then?
No, not since Kevin McStay was managing Roscommon a few years ago have we been lucky enough to get full squads on Tuesdays or Wednesdays. We were doing okay with Thursdays, to be fair, from Mayo during the league. And look, maybe they will go back to those good habits again and release a squad on Thursday and let us all spend 2 and 3 days picking it apart. But I have my doubts, particularly with the injuries, particularly with so many players doubtful, so many players out, and so many big decisions now to make. Billy Joe actually sent through his column for the paper this week, and I was reading through it earlier. And I mean, he makes the point that this entire game can only be previewed through the prism of which Mayo players are fit enough to tog out. Because if there are two or three guys not able to play, then that has a huge knock-on consequence for how you look at the tactical and the strategic side of things, you know?
Yeah, and I would say, like, key to that, obviously, are Robbie Hennelly, Paddy Durkin and Dermot O'Connor. And I think, you know, certainly from the layman's point of view, there isn't a whole pile of news about any of the three of those. So I guess we'll only find out for sure when we see we won't find out for sure until we're there on Sunday and we see if they are really there.
Mike, John spoke about having to wait the poll for the emotions, but do we have to wait the odds and our reaction to the odds, to the fact that every time Mayo play Galway, no matter how bad things are going in one camp or the other, well, in our case, in the Galway camp, we have to build them up as well, because we know they can surprise us. We know that there's never much between these sides. But is there a danger that, you know, the Horan's famous quote, like, why should form go out the window? Galway lost twice to Roscommon. That's not the Galway team we thought they were.
No, but on the flip side, Mayo lost their last two league matches, or two of their last three league matches. That Kildare game, I just can't keep dressing it up as a serious inter-county league match. I'm sorry. You were there, Rob. I was there. It was a glorified pitch opening, really, in hindsight. You know, the Tyrone game and the Kerry game are the two matches that we're basing our form line opinion on from a Mayo point of view. And there's no doubt that when you take the Paddy Durkins and the Dermot O'Connors and Oisín Mullins out of the team, it's a completely different unit. I would hope to have a little bit more news on the injuries for the paper for Tuesday. But my information at the moment would be that there are three or four players definitely out, and there are two or three big players who will be very, very tight to be fit. And I think the good news right now, the definite good news right now, is very thin on the ground from a Mayo point of view. Now, Galway have a few injury issues as well and a few niggles and knocks, but I think I'd agree with John there. We won't know for sure until 4 o'clock Sunday, because both Pádraig Joyce and James Horan are going to be looking for every millimetre they can get. And for that reason, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if the teams that are named are not the teams that start as well. You could see a late bolter, like we did a few times over the years when Mayo play Galway.
Yeah, because you see, Mike, I think there are serious question marks over Galway as well, because you could make a credible case to say that, you know, after we had secured our place in Division 1, that everything went out the window. And after that, of course, came the games against Kerry and Tyrone, and then the blowout in the league final as well. But I mean, everything was going great for Galway as well until the last two games. And that was kind of, I was looking at that this morning, and that was kind of weird when you think about it. Like, they put out a weakened team against Roscommon in round 7 because they were already in the final. It didn't really matter. And Roscommon turned them over. And then they put on their full team out in Croke Park, and the same bloody thing happened to them, you know, and in really comical fashion as well, because it looked like for a while the Roscommon were going to pull away and beat them, my baby, 6 or 7 or 8 points. And they just got going and then hit 6 points in the spin, and it looked like they had got it only for to be undone by that crazy goal that Dermot Murtagh scored. So they're not going to go into the final, you know, all sweetness and light either. I mean, they're staring down the barrel of a third loss in a row and a fourth loss to Mayo in a row. So they have their own issue. I would argue, like, this is a crucial game for Joyce. Joyce has to win this game as Galway manager. He absolutely has to.
I'll be honest, I think this is a huge game for both of them, for both managers and both teams. It's absolutely massive, because it is, in to all intents and purposes, the winner here has a very good chance of playing in an All-Ireland quarter-final down the track. The loser is heading for the minefield of the qualifiers, and in Mayo's case, with a lot of guys in sick bay.
But here's the thing though, Mike, you know, it's the same number of games, because it's the foreshortened qualifiers. Now, the only thing is, obviously, it's a shark tank. You know, you've only two matches, but by Jesus, there'll be two hard ones. And also, you don't know where you're going to come out. You know, you at least, you know, by winning Connacht, you know what side you're on. You have a clue what's going to happen if you go the other way.
Want even more Mayo football podcasts? Become a member of our Patreon club to get bonus pods, join our Discord chat group, and ask us anything about Mayo football. All for just €5 a month plus VAT. Go to patreon.com/Mayo podcast.
Interesting. Edwin was saying in the Q&A podcast he's expecting around 20,000. I think that's the talk. We'll probably have more on that in the paper as well, Mike. Yeah, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I'm basing it a little bit on the crowds that turned out for the hurling matches at the weekend. And I have a feeling if the weather is good on Sunday and people come out of the bank holiday in one piece, I think it could be closer to 25,000 myself. I really do. I think there's a huge appetite out there. But a lot of people, I just get the sense from talking to people, a lot of people are not going to make their minds up until later in the week. And you will have a significant chance of a walk-up crowd on kind of people who buy their tickets on the Saturday or the Sunday morning. I don't think there's any case or any question that it'll sell out. But with Mayo Galway, if it got, I was about to say, if it gets the right sort of hype, but of course, this is the thing, lads. There's no Connacht GAA Championship launch. Mayo and Galway are not talking. So it's up to lads like us to fan the flame.
But just a point, like Munster Rugby are struggling at the moment for attendances, and you know they're a professional entity. We know that it's tough since COVID to get people back to their regular visits. But like these are two counties, you know, in the greater scheme of the world, with small populations, 20,000 people at a sporting event between two counties, between Mayo and Galway, is an enormous crowd if we can get it, let alone 25.
But it should be, I'd be expecting a big crowd there, because if you look at Páirc-Uí-Chaoimh today, it looked almost full. And I mean, the league attendances have been spectacular this spring. I think they've been higher than they've been for years. I think there is a huge pent-up demand there. So I would be disappointed if it didn't hit and beat 20,000.
Good. All right, that's good to hear. Listen, there's more we could talk about. And I think you've set the scene there, lads, very, very well about the pressure that's on both camps, about the massive amount of question marks over both teams. That's why we're going to fill the week with podcasts. John, one more thing.
Yeah, just one more thing. It's around the weekend as well. The Le Creo launch is on Saturday evening. So everyone who has bought a tile will get first view of what the wall looks like, the Heroes Wall, they've called it, and everyone else who rocks up on Sunday and is in the stand will see it as well. So there's an invite has gone out to the tile holders for that launch event that takes place at 6 o'clock on Saturday evening. So obviously, if you are one of those, then you will have an invite in your inbox.
A very good advert for professionally organized and really, really clever run fundraising event, and they deserve all the credit they can get. That's enough on that. Moving on to the underage football scene. I'm going to start with you, John, because you covered this extensively in the blog over 2 days. Lots of chat as well. Sligo Wonder Battle. I think everyone that I have talked to is delighted that they did win their battle. The game should be in Markovic Park, and it is. It's a huge day for them. They're looking for their first ever under-20 title Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. Fill in the details.
Yeah, no, it was a fast-moving story because the story was broken first that Sligo had issued this statement to say that the Connacht GAA could throw the ball in at Bacon at 7:30 on Wednesday evening, but they wouldn't be there to catch it, and set out their reasons, and I think set out their reasons, in a very straightforward way. I mean, they have. I think they obviously had right on their side. You know, there's a home and away arrangement. The last time the counties met in under 20 was in 2019. It was in Castlebar, so clearly this one should be in Markovic Park. Now, I have some sympathy for the Connacht Council in that obviously TG Cahir offered to broadcast the game live, and the decision was taken on that basis. Now, obviously, it wasn't a decision that was taken with the full facts taken fully into account, I guess, and the full consideration. I didn't think they realized that it would cause such problems, you know. So I think you can see why it was a great opportunity to promote the competition, but they should have taken all the factors into account. And I think when Sligo raised their concerns and raised them very publicly, I think Connacht Council were left with no option but to back down. So the match is going to be shown. It'll be deferred. It's also going to be streamed live. There's a bit of grousing now that it's on too early, that it's on at 6 o'clock. But I think, you know, it's very hard to satisfy everyone. I think it's being played in the right place. And obviously, as you say, Rob, Sligo have never, they're the only Connacht County who haven't an under-20/under-21 provincial title, because Leitrim have two of them. So, and this is a great crop of players. So I think it really is an opportunity for them now to go on and do it. Though obviously our lads are going to have something to say about that as well.
Mike, I have two questions. Let's start with the first. How are Mayo shaping up? What are you hearing at the moment heading into this game?
Yeah, chatting to a few people who were in Carrick last week at the semi-final, and just reading through the Maurice Sheridan quotes from after the match, I think relief was definitely the most prevalent emotion. It does seem that there were a combination of factors that left Mayo in the tight corner they found themselves in, and namely Sam Callanan getting injured in the first half. And from what I can gather, Sam is out for the final. That certainly is the indication over the weekend. But once Sam Callanan went off, Mayo had to obviously rejig things. And then they had a couple of other, I think, injury worries or they needed to take a few precautions. They were obviously nine points up, and they made some changes. They ran their bench, and all of a sudden Leitrim got a couple of goals, and it just got really, really tight. And Morris Sheridan was disappointed. Like, I spoke to Morris after the Galway game, and he was disappointed with how Mayo finished the game. He was disappointed with how they lost their focus, lost their concentration, and basically allowed Galway back into it. Similar story again against Leitrim. And I was talking to actually somebody who was at the Sligo game, and you know, Sligo beat Roscommon fair and square, and Roscommon had very high hopes for this team, and Sligo went and turned them over again. So I would say that Mayo will have to produce their best performance of the championship. They're going to have to do it without Sam Callanan. Cian McHale is doubtful as well. Cian from Moydavitts, the corner forward. Rory Kane will probably have to go to centre back now, so they'll have to find a full back. And they're either saving their best for last, or they're just struggling to hit that sort of level of consistency. But when you go back, I'd like to go back to the 9 points up with 15 minutes to go. If they could just, you know, rediscover that sort of form and complete it, get the last quarter, get that piece, you know, where it needs to be, I would expect they should win. But this is a real, real banana skin. Sligo, I gather, didn't allow any of their under-20s in with the senior squad. And when you hear the news from New York, aren't they the relieved young fellas? They weren't on that plane. But, you know, Sligo have put a huge effort in. Desi Snoyan has put in a huge amount of work. And look how they fought for the venue as well. Sligo are up for this. And imagine being part of a Sligo squad that have a chance of being the very first Sligo squad to win an under-20 championship.
I have to ask you this too, Mike, and John, you can chime in if you want afterwards, but it has surprised me the level of criticism of Mara Sheridan's approach. Has it surprised you?
Surprised me? Probably not, because look, we were in Bacon for the Galway game. I saw Mayo playing a couple of times last year. I did, I think warn might be the wrong word, but I did flag this in advance of the under-20 championship. You know, be prepared for a very prescriptive, structured style of football. Now we're two games in, right? You have to call a spade and say, Morris Sheridan and the under-20 management team obviously feel that their group needs this structure. They're not blessed with a forward line that's going to shoot huge scores and win matches pulling up. He obviously feels they have their best chance of achieving success is by playing to this very structured system. It's not for everybody. I can see how some people are sort of shrugging their shoulders and rolling their eyes, and I get that. But I think it comes down to a manager's philosophy and what you ultimately want from this age group. You know, do you want to get over the line and get results and get wins? And if they win, look, it all comes down to the result, doesn't it? Mayo beat Sligo Wednesday night playing this style of football, you get a pass, I believe. If they don't, well, then it's a very different conversation.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of negative reaction to it. Certainly there was an awful lot of commentary to that effect on the blog. I think people just didn't like this style of football, and I think could forgive it in the conditions against Galway. I think we made clever use of the ball in very, very difficult conditions against Galway. But in the really placid weather, if you like, in Carrick and Shannon, there was a feeling that we could have been a bit more expansive. And I guess where a lot of this breaks down as well is that it's one thing that, you know, that structure works for you and you see out a win efficiently, which we should have done from being so far ahead. But we completely broke down at the back in the second half. So the structure wasn't there. And as you say, Mike, I think once Sam Callanan went off, the game changed completely, you know, and we just didn't hold it together. And I know there were a few other enforced substitutions afterwards, so that does make it understandable. But I do, at the same time, I think supporters are kind of trying to have it both ways to some degree, because like James Horden gets plenty of timber for, you know, in supporters' minds, not learning and you know, plan A followed by plan A followed by plan A, and you know, surprise, surprise, plan A doesn't work. Whereas Morris Sheridan is taking a more you could say a cautious approach, or he's certainly playing with the hand he's been dealt, if you like. And he is in a Connacht final, and it's an opportunity for us to win a first Connacht title at this grade for 4 years. And who knows, then you're into the last four and sure, anything can happen at that stage.
It seems a bit mad to me, Mike, as we wrap up this podcast, that like in the Mayo Galway Championship week, I think we should just be talking about one thing, but the minors are out as well. We're so busy. My God. Friday, Ballina, is it? Against Leitrim in the first
game. Yeah, that's right. The minor championship has gone to a round robin format this year. Thanks be to God. I mean, I know COVID and things had to change and calendars got turned upside down, but I just thought it was very unfair to ask under 17s to go out and put it all on the line in one game and then, you know, one and you're done kind of thing. Whereas this year, to me, it's a much fairer format for guys of that age to go out and play the round robin. Mayo get their campaign underway, as you said, Friday evening, 7 o'clock in Ballina. They're playing Leitrim. I would know quite a few of the Mayo squad from colleges football and underage football, and there's some really talented young footballers in with Mayo this year. I know Sean Dean will be very anxious to get his first win under his belt. As I said, he was manager last year for that Roscommon game. It didn't go to plan. So I think if you can get to Ballina on Friday evening, I think you should, if you want to see some of the stars of the future in action. And hopefully, if the under-20s get the job done Wednesday and the minors do likewise Friday, it'll give everything a nice bounce coming into the big match on Sunday then as well.
And I guess it's worth saying as well, Mike, that Friday night is minor night from now on. Like for the round robins, it's every Friday night for the next 4 weeks. We play in the first four rounds and then we have a bye in the final round. So I think it's Leitrim first, followed by, is it Sligo or Roscommon then, followed by Galway. It's Roscommon, then Sligo, then Galway. And they're all in successive weeks.
And it's also a chance to see Gary Ruan, the Claw, the former Mayo corner, back on a sideline, back in a tracksuit. He's the coach with Sean Dean, and Shane McCann is involved, and Danny O'Toole and Michael Gallagher, and they've got a really good crew. They've got a really good spirit, I know, and a good atmosphere, and they've been busy on the challenge game circuit as well over the last few weeks. So looking forward to seeing the minors on Friday night.
Brilliant. That's it from us. This was just to get you going. For those of you who haven't subscribed yet, patreon.com/Mayo Podcast. Mike Finnerty has something else to say. And John has something to say.
Just to give a gratuitous plug to the Mayo News, Mayo Galway preview supplement, Rob. All the usual suspects will be appearing. Billy Joe, Edwin, Colin Sheridan, Sean Rice, Anne-Marie Flynn. And I'm also delighted that I managed to persuade the former sports editor of the Tuam Herald and former RTE commentator and presenter Jim Carney to sit down at the laptop one more time and write a piece for me just about the Mayo Galway rivalry and the history and the tradition. And it's a lovely piece. And I think, shall we say, readers of a certain age, John, I'm looking in your direction, will really appreciate it. How did you like that hand pass, John?
My hair is grayer than John, so I'll enjoy it as well. Also, in the week we have Kieran Murphy, having his uncle in the paper is appropriate. I like it.
No, Jim Carney is GA royalty in the West for sure. Rob, you just mentioned our wonderful Patreon customers, and of course they've all been enjoying the chat on Discord since the start of the year. So the Discord chat for our Patreon customers was open the other day, so that's open for business. So we're hoping that's going to be rocking away in the week leading up to the game as well.
John, you mentioned Discord there. I was chatting to a few of our members in the last week or two, and I'm still amazed that some of them have not come and joined the party on Discord. So maybe on the blog this week you could do something for them, just the Bluffer's Guide to joining Discord.
No, it's all there, Mike. It's all there. Yeah, no, it's all there.
Okay, can you give them a sales pitch then?
Yeah, no.
Why should they join Discord?
No, it's all done. It's all done through Patreon. If anyone has any issues with it, do get in touch. On Patreon, I've helped a few people out along the way over the last number of weeks. Very, very straightforward, you know, and it should be, you know, you have to do it through Patreon on the web, not through the app. You can't do it through the Patreon app, but you just connect the two together and then Bob's your uncle.
And remember, what is it? It's a chat room, but I'm sure there's loads of chat rooms. Not like this, though. This is our effectively WhatsApp group, but just focused on the match. So it's an app you can just open up. And we're all going to be in there on match day, sharing all the information that we're getting. So, I mean, for the Mayo Galway matches, you sit in the crowd. If you want to be on top of the information before everyone else is, there's no better place to be than on Discord. So get yourself sorted this week. No better week to do it. That's it from us. Thank you, Mike.
Cheers, Rob. Good to talk. And I shall see you and talk to you many times in the, the week ahead.
Is there a day we're not doing a podcast this week? I don't know. John, we'll talk to you very, very soon.
Indeed.
Thanks, folks. I'll see you soon.